This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 21B in the Path of Higher Evolution compilation on page 63. And we are talking about the second cosmic path. We're in the archaic stanza that is associated with it. You know, it's very obscure. The language is very veiled. And we have to try to find some thoughts which at least are directed towards a solution. So there is a fiery wheel which is burning. It's a kind of center, and the master finds himself within that. Now, it's said to be at the midway point, and we're trying to say, well, what is this midway point? Is this in the great Kumaric body? Is it a kind of heart center found on the Buddhic plane, a planetary logoic heart center? Or is the planetary logoic heart, as chart 8 in Cosmic Fire suggests, really on the monadic plane, as is the solar logoic heart center, though maybe on different subplanes? Or are we talking about one of seven head centers on the logoic plane, and that being a heart center of the seven, may be found at a midway point, namely the Buddhic correspondence, the Buddhic subplane of the logoic plane. Anyway, a heart is burning, and it is a greater heart in which the to-be-liberated monad finds his place. The master finds his place there. The burning says it becomes a sea of living fire, and that, of course, suggests possibly the sea of fire, which is another name given to the energy process on the logoic plane of the cosmic physical plane, and draws to itself its own. And I think we're dealing here with energies of the four cosmic ethers. See, it is a fourfold pyre, after all, and we're disengaging from the physical body, from the etheric part of the physical body, of the planetary logos, and entering into his cosmic astral vehicle. So something's burning, and there's smoke issuing from the fiery wheel, and a living way, the life aspect, is suggested. The life or monadic aspect is here suggested, veiling his steps ahead. So he's at the midway, within the midway wheel, the master with the midway wheel on fire, and maybe his own, some correspondence within him, of the heart center, is also burning. But what correspondence could that be? Because, you know, I can say this, that the monadic vehicle must also burn. But to call that the midway wheel is probably taking it too far. So there is a midway wheel on fire, and the master enters within the smoke on his way to wherever the smoke leads. The master is on his way to wherever the antichoronic smoke leads, and probably to the cosmic astral plane. He enters blind and full of trust and with faith. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. He feels no guiding hand. It reminds one of the process at the fourth initiation, when the initiate feels himself forsaken. Only the fifth and latest known aids him to forward grope. Now, this is either this is either the mind, because it is the latest of the faculties added. Latest of the faculties added. Or it is the revelation of the fifth initiation through which he has just passed. And that revelation will tell him something of whither he is tending. So he is blind in a certain sense, but and groping in terms of these higher energies, but the fifth is the latest known initiation, then it has to do with some kind of revelation. It's called the initiation of revelation. Aids him to forward grope. He knows whither he is tending. He knows that, at least as a concept, even though he is not experiencing these energies in any direct manner. And pass straight onward through the veiling clouds. You know, we are on our way to the cosmic astral plane, and often the imagery of clouds and veils is attached or associated with astrality. But this is, associated. But there's something else going on here. The clouds, however, are the debris which remains from the burning, even as a kind of debris of the causal body remains before the fifth initiation. As a result of the burning of the causal body at the fourth. Only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. Well, that's what he is entering, indeed. He is entering on the path of magnetic work through a, quote, new magnetic field. Now, what is his wheel? It's going to be some sort of chakra. And what has to awaken here? His heart center has long ago awakened, and his head centers have awakened. Are we dealing with the full awakening of the highest correspondence to the etheric head center? And is the monadic vehicle itself a kind of wheel? Of course, it looks to me like that monadic vehicle is going to have to be destroyed, but it looks as if the monadic vehicle will have to be destroyed if he is to make his way to the cosmic astral plane. I mean, we cannot take with us, apparently, well, only apparently, we cannot take with us the substance, the matter of the cosmic physical plane onto the cosmic astral plane. It doesn't seem that it could endure there. That which will pass the etheric web has to be of a fine enough material to be harmonious with the conditions. That's all we can say of the cosmic astral plane. Are they vibratory conditions? Are they prakritic conditions? This is something, DK said, we cannot know. We certainly have a particulate kind of structure of the cosmic physical plane. Is there any kind of particulate structure of the cosmic astral plane? He says this is beyond our capability of knowing. Only the sons of, what are they? It'd be so interesting to know what these sons are, what Gemini may be called. But I suppose if Alice Bailey put this in, she had the permission of DK to do it, or maybe DK said, simply put in brackets the word Gemini so that we are not totally in the dark. Only the sons of Gemini know the way in. So the way in simply must connect with the cosmic astral plane and with the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy ruled by Gemini. So the way in does lead to the cosmic astral plane. In is to a great life, or the expression of a great solar-logoic life on the cosmic astral plane. So the solar logos is expressing there. The solar logos is expressing astrally on the cosmic astral plane, and Gemini, through its creative hierarchy, is also expressing astrally on the cosmic astral plane. Only the sons of Gemini know, the sons of, that is, Gemini, know the way in. What is the correspondence here to Gemini? Well, these are two rosy points, I believe. The creative hierarchy is known as that. Let's see if we can look it up. Two rosy. Okay, we have band violet. Maybe that will do it. Two stars of vivid rose linked by a band of violet. This is a gravitation toward the astral level of the cosmic astral plane. And that is interesting considering the future kind of work that has to be done. So this is TCF 1225. And we will make this a little greener. So, there we go. Right. So what we find here, this type of movement that is taking place, the ascending movement of the rocket-like star is towards, at first, so it seems, the sixth, or astral level of the cosmic astral plane, from which it would be possible to do work for the systemic astral plane. All of the numbers would line up, the sixes, wouldn't they? And we'd be dealing with a kind of fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy ruled by Ray 6. The Gemini creative hierarchy is ruled by ray 6. So there are many sixes lining up in the kind of work to be accomplished. There is the six of the planetary portion of the systemic astral plane, the six of the solar logoic portion of the systemic astral plane. There is the sixth cosmic plane, which is the cosmic astral, and the sixth subdivision or subplane of the cosmic astral plane. And there is the creative hierarchy with its ray number six, as you see. Ray 6, Gemini, on the sixth sublevel of the six cosmic planes. So many sixes lining up, the numerical resonance that we need is there. So the sons of Gemini, the sons which are Gemini, they, these guide the released monad on the way in. The funeral pyre will release the monad so that it may go what? In. I have to go slow, you know, slowly here. And only the suns with blazing fire issuing from the midway point may enter in. So this is in relation to a great Kumaric midway point, and also a midway point, a chakric midway point of the master who seeks entry. Now, we're told that 35 vortices of force make a master. This is now a Chohan who can be a free monad. And will there be in the Chohanic body or within the monadic vehicle, will there be a correspondence to the heart center? I think so. On every plane, there has to be a correspondence to the heart center. Does a seventh degree initiate seek his way in? Well, he's not yet a seventh degree initiate, but there would have to be also a correspondence on one of the subplanes of the logoic plane of a kind of higher heart center. You know, eventually all these vortices which reach down into the lowest etheric level have higher correspondences, but we're pretty much speaking of a master who is becoming a Chohan and thereby being a focused monad who can divorce himself from his lower vehicles and as an electric spark find his way into the cosmic astral plane. Of course, these are unusual for us, states of, can't call them consciousness, they are states of being with an associated awareness. So only the suns with blazing fire issuing from the midway point. And I think we have to say, wherever it is their own. Is it a higher correspondence to a heart chakra? Because the heart is a midway point. Or some higher kind of or some still higher correspondence to the heart center, such as the heart in the head, or the heart among seven head centers, may enter in. They throw their beams ahead to illuminate the way. So this is a higher type of antichoronic projection. We are throwing beams of light in our building of the antichorona from the mental unit into the spiritual triad and towards the monad, but they are throwing these beams towards a greater life on the cosmic astral plane. He's called the Adept of the Funeral Pyre, the Master of the Blazing Sphere, consumes himself. The Master of the Blazing Sphere. See, where is this funeral pyre? It seems he cannot enter the cosmic astral plane in his present monadic vehicle. Maybe the vehicle, it seems, so it seems, and I have to always say so it seems, the vehicle will not pass, so it seems. So where is this funeral pyre occurring? And what is burning? You know, there are just so many possibilities here. We know something corresponding to the heart is burning. We don't know at what level that heart is found because we have a number of hearts, you know. As the healing law tells us, we have the heart within the vehicle, the heart within the head, and the heart upon the plane of soul endeavor. Cooperate as one. And then the three whose number is the 12, the vehicle, the head, the causal body, respond to the greater 12, the monad. The monad has a 12-foldness to it. Then the life is known and the years prolonged. So there are four 12s right there within the, and more really. There are more 12s, but four are being mentioned here as the etheric heart, the heart within the head, the 12 of the egoic lotus, and the 12 of the monad, as far as I can see. I always have to add that, you know. I want to be cautious. These are tentative approaches to truth. Trying to reason one's way there and hoping for the confirmation of the intuition at various points when the thoughts proposed are worthy of that confirmation. The Adept of the Funeral Pyre, the Master of the Blazing Sphere, consumes himself. Now, so, is the monadic vehicle consumed? Is this the burning of the Temple of Ezekiel? Does the Christ or the Buddha, both of whom are focused apparently on the logoic level, being preliminary initiates of the seventh degree, do they have a monadic vehicle? Well, maybe they are not confined by it. Have they destroyed their monadic vehicle? Is that only done when the ninth initiation comes, or is it done before so that there can be an escape of the volatile essence into the sea of fire, the seventh plane? So when we say the Adept of the Funeral Pyre, you know, is this burning going on upon the monadic plane where that vehicle is found? I just have to ask that. Is this burning going on upon the monadic plane where the monadic vehicle is found, on whatever level, third or second or first maybe? Offering himself, the one that is, so he is the monad, you know, the essential monad. Is the one that is. The new made threefold word, the three aspects escaped from their confines, the sacred Om on a higher turn of the spiral, the fire of God, the essential fire, the the fire that is the jewel in the lotus, the essential fire. He treads the burning ground and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun. To those who watch and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun. So is this radiant flaming sun the five-pointed star? The five-pointed star, which shoots like a rocket from the funeral pyre. So he now, you know, he is liberated. He is liberated from the cosmic etheric plane. He is the one that is. He's the new-made threefold word. The monad is threefold. He is the sacred Om, and the Om sounds from the council chamber of Shambhala, which is on the seventh level, so the Om is sounding even there, and not just on the monadic plane. He is the fire of God in the sea of fire, the essential fire, now in the sea of fire, and then beyond. He treads the burning ground, which releases from the cosmic ethers. From the cosmic ethers, and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun, which is, in this case, a five-pointed star. And the symbol of this path, you know, let's just see if we can find that. Rosy sun. Let's see if we find that. A symbol containing a flaming rosy sun with a sign at its center. But these are laws, and here we go. A flaming sun of predominantly rosy. He rockets towards a flaming sun of predominantly rosy hue. Why should not the solar logos, in a way, represent himself as different kinds of suns on all the different levels, different kinds of radiant spheres of color on all the different levels. Perhaps this is the subjective sun of the cosmic astral plane towards, it doesn't say he reaches it, but it goes towards this radiant flaming sun of predominantly rosy hue. It's a six, really. And of course, it correlates, just as we have seen with the sixth law here. Law six, the symbol contains a flaming rosy sun with a sign in the center, a sign symbolizing the union of fire and water. And below the sign is found the hieroglyphic and the keynote. It may not be given, a hieroglyphic which may not be given, as it gives the clue to the earth sign. The earth sign, that may not be an astrological statement. It may be the sign which symbolizes the earth and the keynote of the physical body of the planetary logos. Well, these are laws of the soul, of course. And maybe they are taking place on a slightly lower level than the kinds of liberations we are talking about now. Offering himself, the one that is, the new-made threefold word. See, this is written in poetic language. I stumbled over this phrase earlier because there was not a comma here, as I thought there should be. Offering himself, comma, the one that is, comma, the new-made threefold word, the sacred Om, the fire of God, the essence of the monad, really, the electrical spark. He treads the burning ground and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun, a five-pointed star, heading towards a rosy, a sun of, how is it put, flaming sun of predominantly rosy hue. He does something here and draws the people onward to their goals. So this is his service. Warming. See, what is it that warms? What warms? Usually solar fire. And so we must think that a higher form of solar fire expresses as pure love from the cosmic astral plane. Electric fire, of course, is an aspect. Our electric fire is an aspect of solar fire, but a higher form of solar fire, you know, a solar fire really from the heart of the sun. And this heart of the sun being what I would call now the correspondence to the ego in man, to the egoic lotus in man, or the consciousness of the egoic lotus in man. There is a soul consciousness for the soul of the egoic lotus, and we can consider that a kind of heart of the sun. The trouble with occultism of this kind is, well, maybe it's necessary. There are so many similar or same words for the different things, and vice versa. This has to be blinded, and one has to develop the intuition to penetrate the blind. And if we don't develop the intuition, we're simply being given some kind of concrete-minded concept about things which we will never touch. So, solar fire warms. He has solar fire from the cosmic astral plane, warming their hearts, producing dual fire. Producing dual fire, and this is Gemini fire. And what is it this time? Is it spirit and soul? Is it soul and personality? And leading all towards the portal of the sun. The portal of the sun. And one thinks of the seventh initiation. Because that initiation is associated with Gemini and is still taken on the cosmic physical plane. And thence to Gemini on the cosmic astral plane. So this portal of the sun, it is a solo-logoic initiation. It has to do with the second great ray. And it may be connected also with the sign Gemini, which is the sign of the second ray on the cosmic astral plane. Okay, associated. He, what? Revolves. He returns. What does he do? And draws the people onward to their goal. The people. Remember, remember. Okay, I don't want that. I have to go backwards. Remember that monads can be people, or people can be monads. So remember that people, per se, in quotes, can be monads. That was what he said in the very beginning concerning this path. He said that many people, i.e. those whose monads are on the fifth ray, tread this path. He warms them, he warms their hearts, he's seeking for the warmth of heart. Remember, those who tread this path, when I say remember, I mean for myself too, right? Remember that those who tread this this path of magnetic work are seeking the warmth of heart and use vivid, revelatory imagination, which transcends any sense of duality. imagination. So he warms their hearts, producing dual fire. I suppose the fire of spirit and of soul, the fire of being and of consciousness. In this case, not so much soul and personality. Soul and personality, but the fire of monad and soul, or of being and consciousness, and leading them towards the portal of the sun. Well, you know, the monad is also the sun, and leading them towards the monad, leading them towards the dragon's crest, leading them towards the fifth, towards the sixth, towards the seventh, leading them higher. But any of the higher initiations will do. Towards these, he leads the others. And thence to Gemini, but Gemini in the sense, but realizing Gemini in a completely non-dual dual manner. The mystic word, is this the word of release? Is this the word of the great being on the cosmic astral plane? He's going to make a discovery. Remember the three jewels that he discovered, or that the candidate discovered on the first path. Remember the three jewels? On the path of Earth service may have referred to the name of Sanat Kumara, or to syllables or letters in that name, acquiring which gave powers. So there's some kind of mystic word here, a word which somehow inspires the whole process, is veiled by the four letters for E-M, A-O. Now, letters four. Okay, well, we are coming in touch with the fourth creative hierarchy, unmanifested, which is, in a way, a higher correspondence to the human creative hierarchy. And its number is nine and four, just as the human creative hierarchy is. But what can we make of the numbers E and M? E equals 5, M equals 4 and suggests matter, A equals 1 and suggests spirit or will, and O, which is in a way the sound of the monadic plane, equals 6. The sum is 16. 9, 1, 10. Sum is 16. But I'm not sure that number leads us anywhere. As far as hierarchies go, it's the third and fourth, pardon me, which are here found, the third and fourth creative hierarchies. They are involved in paving the way for this process. In the significance of their numbers and the utilization of their colors, is the smoke dissipated? Well, five, well, let's see. Five suggests Mahat. M, trouble with M is it means master for me. M suggests matter transcended. A suggests the logoic plane. It is the letter of the logoic plane. And O, the rounded O, is the sound of the monadic plane. Of course, there are sometimes the ohm is sounding also in the council chamber, but the O itself is kind of a compromise for a first-ray, second-ray word. It's the great rounded O's are found on the monadic plane. We find circles there in chart 5, and on page 39 of the Letters on Occult Meditation, we find that there are 7 great groups on the monadic plane, and we assume that O represents each one of them. So is there some kind of intense light here from Cosmic Mahat and the E? It is also the note of the Buddhic plane. If we transfer these letters into musical notes, we can only do that in 2 cases, the E and the A. There is no musical note M or O. But is there a great luminosity in connection with the E? Does the M suggest rising above matter, rising above the cosmic physical plane? Is the A logoic power? Is the O monadic power? Will these together, with what they suggest, help to dissipate the smoke? What may be their colors? Well, E, colors. You know, this is really going fishing here. E has a color yellow connected with ray 5 and the note me. M, is this the color of matter? It's also a number 4. It's a number 4, which also is connected with yellow, but what is the color of matter that we are transcending? Is the matter of M a violet color of the cosmic ethers? Notice how my assertions have all changed to questions here. It's the only thing one really can do. The A in music is the color indigo. It's also a fifth ray color, but then the esoteric color for the fifth ray is indigo. But if this is indicating the logoic plane, but if the A indicates the logoic plane, then we have the color of flame in the sea of fire. So there, you know, there are A's, there are sounds here, and there are planar associations. What do we have? We have sounds, planar associations, and musical associations. We have all those. And, you know, we switch from one to the other. The O, suggesting the color of O is blue because of its number 6 associated with the astral plane and the monadic plane, both of which suggest blue. There are other things they can suggest. I mean, there is an orange suggestion for the monadic plane if we start numbering down yellow, orange, blue, violet. But blue is the complement of orange. So how can we use the potencies of these letters to dissipate the smoke? Well, we get a great luminosity. We get somehow freedom from the cosmic ethers through the beyond the M, and we get the logoic, we get a destruction of the monadic vehicle, which is the destruction of the O, or the auric egg, which is blue, a Jupiterian thing destroyed, and we get the volatile essence released, the electric spark released into the sea of fire where the A is sounding, the A being the first, therefore the logoic. We're not dealing with anything on the cosmic astral plane which has to do with the number one. If we deal with the number one, it's still on the cosmic physical plane. And somehow this is going to be the return of the monad to its own essence, freeing from the realm of matter, and somehow discriminating through the E the difference between the magnetic fields. Discriminating through the E the difference. Now, really, DFC, there must be something that will give me the word difference. I'm tired of not being able to say difference. Different, DFC. Well, let's do that, just difference. Difference. So, discriminating through the E, the difference of the two magnetic fields. When one thinks of Gemini, one also thinks of the two planes, the cosmic astral and the cosmic physical plane, and their relation. So we're making a transition from one magnetic field to another. See, a cosmic plane is a magnetic field with many sub-magnetic fields in it, depending upon the subplane and the sub-subplanes and so forth. We are making a transition from one magnetic field to another. But you see, those who go on in this way, do they ever really return to the cosmic physical plane? Once a monad is, or an electric spark is liberated onto a higher cosmic plane and into a higher vehicle of our planetary or solar logos, does it ever return? Maybe it never returns monadically. Maybe it returns like a deep sea diver, you know, going into lower waters, but somehow keeping the contact with the source of life that it has achieved, the air given to it from a source above. The solar angels seem to have returned, but maybe their monad does not return to the same kind of etheric density as the density in which the human monad still exists. But they can put down projections and work in fields even though their monad stays on the higher plane. So is that a return? See, I can't imagine the monad of a solar angel recentralizing itself within the monadic plane, within that sort of etheric heart center of the solar logos, sometimes called the heart of the sun. Okay, but they've already been farther. So while you can put an aspect of yourself, your achievement can never be taken away. Your monad is liberated and within a different type of ray or auric vehicle on a higher plane, but it's possible to put down an extension for work, a field of expression within the lower plane, which as a monad you left the cosmic physical plane for training. And all of these paths take you at least to the cosmic astral plane. Only the path of Earth service does not do that. It still keeps one confined within the cosmic ethers where Shambhala is found. Well, let's read it again. You know, certainly I don't know what I'm going to say when I study these things with you. I simply allow the thoughts to come and the associations to be made and hope that they are more or less indicative of a path one can follow towards greater light, if not the whole truth. Okay, so then we would go into, this would be page 1270, to be able to read it in its entirety. I guess it's, it is from Archaic Formulas number 9. This was not copied, and it should have been copied into this larger document. Okay, so we're looking for the archaic stanzas. It's so easy to get a bit lost here. Here it is. Archaic stanza from Archaic Formulas. Formulas. Number 49. If it's a formula, it is a method of producing results. Because a formula exists in order to make some kind of transformation of one thing into another, or to effect a change between something that is as it becomes something it can be. So these formulas, I suppose, it's a stanza from Archaic Formulas. It seems that it will have an effect, and that it's not just a matter for study, but that it can begin to prepare the master for what he encounters, and maybe can begin to induce some of those states. Path 2 from Archaic Formula number 49, kind of interesting, the Gemini hierarchy's numbers are 4 and 9, and so is the human. The path of magnetic work. The cosmic burning ground of living fire lieth in the nethermost part of the western heavens. Its smoke riseth unto that high place where dwell the sacred laws, to whom the triple unity within our solar space tender their offerings and their fealty. Its scent of spices sweet and faint aroma of incandescent something reach to the utmost confines of the starry vault, perhaps within the one about whom not may be said. That might be reasonable. The two arise and pass the essential flame through their burning ground, blending their lesser smoke with the greater. That's going to need reinterpretation. This smoke formeth a path which reacheth forth unto those spheres within the radiant form of that attractive life to whom the sons of being and of men in all their many grades offer their prayers, their life, and adoration. The master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth and is not holy, seeth the fiery way, he respondeth to its heat and seeks to warm himself within its waves of radiant fire electric. A center at the midway point within the great Kumaric body formeth the pyre. It pulsates and it glows. It becomes a sea of living fire, and draws within itself its own. The smoke which issues from this fiery wheel formeth a living way, veiling the steps ahead. The master with the midway wheel on fire enters within the smoke and enters blind. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. He feels no guiding hand. Only the fifth and latest known aids him to forward grope and pass straight onward through the veiling clouds. Only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. I'm seeing additional things here. Only the sons of, and then it says Gemini, know the way in. Only the sons with blazing fire issuing from the midway point may enter in. They throw their beams ahead to illuminate the way. The adept of the funeral pyre, the master of the blazing sphere, consumes himself, offering himself, the one that is, the new-made threefold word, the sacred ohm, the fire of God. He treads the burning ground and blazes forth to all who watch as a radiant flaming sun. He does something and draws the people onward to their goal, warming their hearts, producing dual fire, and leading all towards the portal of the sun and thence to Gemini. The mystic word is veiled by letters 4, E, M, A, and O. In this significance, in the significance of their numbers and in the utilization of their colors, is the smoke dissipated, and I suppose he finds his way clearly in. He uses a word to find his way in, and the mystic word is veiled. Whatever that word is veiled by these numbers and letters. Letters and their numbers. Occult numerology is suggested here. And, going back here to what I discovered, the two arise and pass the essential flame through their burning ground, blending their lesser smoke with the greater. So at first I thought that the Gemini, the twins, provided the greater burning ground and a lesser burning ground upon the cosmic ethers. But it looks... Maybe they have less smoke. Okay, so let's look at this for a moment. The two arise and pass the essential flame through their burning ground, blending their lesser smoke with the greater. In other words, let's just say there is more smoke. From the burning of the cruder cosmic physical plane substance of the cosmic ethers, and less smoke connected with Gemini and the energy of the cosmic astral plane from whence they come. So interesting to think of Gemini connected with the cosmic astral planes. So the less the smoke, the less the initial impurity. And this, there's lesser smoke here as their energy is applied to the release of the essential flame than there is when we consider the four torches and the four ethers and the etheric vehicles that must burn, the etheric vehicles of the imprisoned monad. So that will produce a greater smoke. The Gemini are greater beings with lesser smoke, and the monad imprisoned in its cosmic etheric vehicles is a lesser being. And the burning which must release him produces a greater smoke. Now, did I find anything else here that I did find something else. Well, you know, there was such obscurity here because we're dealing with events within the Kumaric body, the body of the great Kumara, the planetary Kumara, which we just have not registered at all, and even now only dimly, as concepts. The pyre is a great center in the Kumaric body. I suppose it's got to be a kind of heart center, but where to locate it, that is the question. And in the fire, it enters into that state of being, or fiery energy we call the living fire, sea of living fire. It just has to involve this sea of fire in some way. And the smoke which issues from this fiery wheel formeth a living way. Now, the master with the midway wheel on fire, some kind of heart center. I don't ever think we can think of the monadic vehicle, as a midway wheel. It is the higher wheel, but it does have to burn. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. He feels no guiding hand. Only the fifth and, only the fifth and latest known aids him to forward grope and pass straight onward through the veiling clouds. Only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. And what is his wheel? The awakening of his wheel. One wheel is burning, but one wheel is awakening. So, let me find that. Only the fifth, groping forward, okay, only the awakening of his wheel. What is his wheel? Is this the monadic wheel? Because indeed, every one of the periodical vehicles is a wheel. They all rotate. The egoic lotus is a wheel. It's a kind of chakra of the monad, a heart chakra. And the monad is kind of like a third eye to the solar logos. It is a wheel. The two arise. I wonder whether those two have something to do with the dual function of the monad as a kind of a third eye. Hence kind of an Ajna center. It's a bit of an obscure thought. Anyway, the monad of the man must awaken further. So, is this the monad which is awakening further, or the vehicle of the monad which is involved in this awakening, or is the vehicle of the monad to be sacrificed in the awakening of the actual monadic life? So only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. And by his, I don't think we're talking about any kind of greater logos. It is the candidate. It is the one who is on this path and who needs to have his wheel, higher wheel, awakened. And the new magnetic field, does it extend down onto the cosmic physical plane? Or is it only felt on the cosmic astral plane? I think it must extend downward. There's an overlapping of fields, the fields of the cosmic physical plane in the field of the cosmic astral plane, and he's going to enter this new magnetic field, and maybe some stirring within his monadic wheel is going to tell him, indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. We just don't know when the monadic vehicle has to be destroyed. Does it have to be destroyed as one enters the seventh initiation? Or is it somehow preserved here in order to make one's way onto the cosmic astral plane? Does one have to be a seventh degree initiate? Or can one simply, as a monad, travel to the cosmic astral plane without going through those higher initiations, 7, 8, or 9? So when does the monadic vehicle have to be destroyed? It's pretty clear that a being who is traveling to the cosmic astral plane cannot take his monadic vehicle with him. So what happens? Is it stored? Is it destroyed? Is the entry into the seventh initiation tantamount to the destruction of the monadic vehicle? Or do any of those taking the higher paths destroy their monadic vehicle because they have to journey to the cosmic astral plane and also to the cosmic mental plane? But can the Maya Virupa-like recreate monadic vehicles below? It seems that from higher positions you can recreate anything that you had more naturally working for you below, just like the liberated being consciousness moves into the spiritual triad and can create a Maya Virupa, which reproduces all that he had more naturally below. And maybe that Maya Virupa possibility is also there when we ascend on higher planes, and we can reproduce something we may need on the cosmic physical plane if we journey back to it. Maybe we jettison everything, all the vehicles, travel to the cosmic astral plane, the cosmic mental plane, but if there was a need to return, the potency exists within the traveling spark to recreate whatever he used to have in the lower worlds. Well, you know, this is sheer speculation based on some pathways that can be followed through qualitative resonance and similarity, numerical resonance and similarity, correspondences of structure on higher and lower planes. That's how all this is being done, or how I'm trying to think of it. And my purpose, again, is simply to offer some thoughts which may serve as seeds to lead others, maybe who will have more penetration, to greater truth. All right. I'm over time. But what else is new? So, this is going to be the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary 21B, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 66, and beginning, so glad that these things can be restored, beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 22A, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 66. Okay, friends, I'm hoping all this worked out. What a trip. Of course, we're talking about the ultimate trip. Talking about tripping, you know, tripping is always to a new place, a new dimension. And for us as human beings, we are being presented with the ultimate in new dimensions. Not the ultimate cosmically considered, but the ultimate for us, at least in our time, any reasonable time context, and within the context of this particular solar system. That is the new idea for me, the idea of a return to lower planes by being able to regenerate from one's own inner powers the vehicles which one used to possess, if those vehicles are in any way needed for the work to be done when returning. Well, okay, we'll let it go. I think I'm saying that more and more. So it seems, and we'll let it go. Not that I want to ever let anything go without full understanding, but okay, what else can one do at one's present stage of ignorance? What else can one do? Okay, we'll see you in Cosmic Fire Web Commentary number 22, and we're going to get on to the third path. These are very demanding, and quite a number of programs are being spent on each of these cosmic paths. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.